Mark tonight, chapter number 1, verse number 21. Sweet Spirit of the Lord's in this house tonight to touch somebody. Mark chapter number 1, verse number 21. As always, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Give honor to your pastor. Appreciate Brother Hurst. Appreciate this congregation, the history and love that we have for these people, and the kindness and love that they've always shown our family. God's word, it reads like this. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace. Come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits. And they do obey him. Friend, there is still no weapon formed against us that shall prosper. Amen. I said there's still no weapon formed against us that shall prosper. I'm sorry, this is kind of just a quick change of pace here, and I don't have a fancy smancy title for you tonight. Let me just call this, And They Do Obey Him. How about that? Is that okay? Is that good enough to get us right where we need to go? All I know is God's word is saying to us tonight that he still has power over every unclean spirit, over every foul force of hell that tries to come against your life and your family and your mind and your heart. And I still know where the answer is and who the answer is. He's the undeniable Jesus Christ. He is Lord and he is Savior. Can you lift up your hands and pray, God, have your way in the remainder of this service tonight. Father, I thank you for your divine word. I thank you for your divine spirit that's in this house tonight. And I pray, God, let there be free course and liberty in this tabernacle tonight. I pray, let the word of God go forward and it will not return void. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus that the sweet hand of the living God would come upon this tabernacle and move in a mighty way and do what only God can do. And I give you glory, I give you praise, and I give you honor in the name of Jesus. We do pray. Everybody said amen. Shake your hand of a neighbor that's close beside you. Smile. Tell them I'm glad to see you tonight in the house of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Friend, when Jesus begins his earthly ministry, he is confronted. A confrontation takes place with a demon-possessed man. Now, whether we want to realize it, whether we want to recognize it, whether we want to even bring it up, there is such things as spiritual forces that come against our lives, and they're very real, and they come against hearts and minds, and the devil is still set on killing and stealing and destroying, not just trying to injure you, but to destroy you, not just trying to give you a bad day, but to ruin your very life. You would be a foolish man to assume that there's no such thing as spiritual wickedness in high places, and whether we realize it or not, you fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah that says, He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. When you begin to seek the Lord, when you begin to serve the Lord, when you begin to cry out in the Lord, you become a target against the wicked one. But I'm glad I know where I can go to. I'm glad I know where I can run to. I'm glad that I can go to the rock that is higher than I. His name is Jesus. Somebody give him praise in the house of the Lord. Friend, hear me tonight. There is a reality of the demonic. I want to remind you what verse number 23 said. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. The Bible does not deny it. The Bible does not try to go around it. The Bible does not try to sidestep it. I know there's men and women that say, surely in the 21st century, you don't believe in such spirit. Our friend here, we are not to have a fascination with them. We are not to be preoccupied with them. We are not to be focused on them. We are to be focused on the Lord. But you need to realize it is a spiritual battle. Some of you think it's just a mind. No, it's deeper than that. Some of you think it's just family. No, it's deeper than that. It's something behind it. It's something that's pushing it. And if you don't see who the enemy is, you're gonna miss the battle. We've convinced a society that our problems are educational. Or maybe it's just legislation. And if we could just pass some more laws and give some folks some more PhDs, then every problem would be subsided. Everything would be fine. It would all be done and over with. And I don't care how many degrees they pump out of their universities, they're never going to find an answer until you see that it's spiritual and it's not by might and it's not by power. We need praying people again. Amen, somebody. Friend, hear me tonight. We must see, the Bible said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, amen. Amen. The Bible says there is such thing as spiritual wickedness. So it's not what I planned on preaching. I came there. I said, I'm going to come to Union Road. It's going to be just a nice kind of quiet little service. Everything will be fine. I'm just going to stand behind that pulpit. Just give a nice little amen Sunday evening. And the Lord been good to us. I'm telling you, I feel the Lord in this house tonight. Paul said there is such a thing as spiritual wickedness. I would to God we'd have men and women again that would realize that not everything spiritual is holy. I don't care if it's a miracle. I'm telling you, if I was a devil, I'd open up a blind eye every service. If I could get you to move away from your faith in Jesus. I believe in miracles, but I trust in Jesus. And if that miracle doesn't bring a man closer to the Lord, then you get out of that place. There's all sorts of spiritual, I don't know what you'd call them. We call them every now and again spiritual space cadets. Hallelujah. I mean, they got a little word from the Lord every time you turn around, but they ain't opened up their Bible in weeks. Amen. I mean, they don't mind missing 6 months worth of church, but as soon as they come back, they've got to be the most spiritual person there. I don't buy it and I don't believe it. Amen. But just because there's something that's wrong out there, and just because there is something that's spiritually wicked out there, that doesn't take away from the fact that there's a real power of God. There's a real truth of God. There's a real anointing of God. It sets men free. It delivers their hearts. It changes their lives. His name is the Lord, and His power is among us tonight. Hallelujah. Friend, right here in this very service, in fact, in this house, you realize that there are spiritual battles taking place. Don't think I just come to the house of the Lord and no, there was something spiritual. It tried to hinder you. It tried to attack you. You didn't even see it. You didn't even know it. You didn't even realize the door that took place just for you to get here. And as soon as you got here, your mind's going 1,000 miles an hour in every other direction. You're already thinking about Monday. You're already worrying about what the bills are going to be. Everything that can try to distract you is going to be there. You got to take control over that in the name of Jesus and bring that thought into captivity under the obedience of Christ. That's how you win this war. Don't let your mind go wild and free like that. Friend, hear me. There is a such thing as a reality of the demonic. The longer we put it off and say, no, it couldn't be, the more Satan has a time to get a stronghold and a grip in your life. There's been times we've got down. I've looked at my bride and I said, honey, this is a spiritual attack against our lives. Now listen, don't be one of these people, you see a devil underneath every bush. Don't take it like that. But I'm telling you, there's a reality of it. It's like that one boxer. I mean, he's getting tore up out there. I mean, that he's getting hit left and right. Sure enough, that bell rings. He gets just a minute to go to his corner, and he tells his coach, he says, throw in the towel. Coach looks back at him and says, "Sir, son, don't worry. He hadn't laid a glove on you." That boxer said, "Then watch out for the ref, because somebody out there is killing me." Brother Brian, something is out there. Something is out there attacking our young married couples. Something is out there attacking our youth. Something's out there trying to attack our churches. I said, come on here. I said, something's out there trying to attack our lives. And we can deny it all we want, or we can stand in the name of the Lord and plead the very blood of Jesus and call upon the name of the Lord and rebuke every foul force and let His mighty power flow through our hearts. Now stay with me just a little bit here tonight. We see them come in different ways. It's not just one attack, it's different sides. Hear me, friend. The Bible speaks to us and tells us tonight there is such thing as a spiritual oppression. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That word oppress means to rule over, to attempt to push down. It's the same word found there in James 2 and 6 where he said, do not rich men oppress you. In other words, they push them down. And friend, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter how long you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Nobody is an exemption from a spiritual oppression. Some of God's finest find themselves in times where they are spiritually oppressed. Doesn't mean you backslid. Doesn't mean you've got cold. Doesn't mean you've walked away. It means that there's an enemy that's against your life. And I hate to tell you this. And now listen, there's no fine print in this contract. You knew if you was going to get in, you'd become a prey as well. So I might as well just go ahead and tell you, full disclosure, higher level, bigger devil. Amen. The more you walk with the Lord, the more He's able to allow you to go through, the more He's able to allow you to face. Come on here. There's going to be trials. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be spiritual oppressions. If you ask me what's one of our most difficult problems in our movement, Brother Estes, is it folks going over here? Is it going to places we preach against? That may be a problem. But I tell you, one of our greatest problems are people that sit in our pews and they are spiritually oppressed and they will not step out and say, it is me, oh Lord, standing in the, come on here, it's me, God, I need a touch of God, I need help from the Lord, I need a move of God in my own. We can sit in the pew, we can smile and nod our head, dear mercy, when you gonna get out of that pew and say, I need the touch of God to get me out, to bring me out? Our pride pushes us down. That little voice comes and says, what is everybody going to think? What is everybody going to think if you get up there right now? When comes a point? I'm not talking about just trying to disrupt a service for disruption's sake. But there is such a thing as being led by the Spirit of God, where you know the touch of God, you know the hand of God has come into your life for such a time as this, and you say, God, I need help tonight. There are windows of opportunity that the Lord puts before you. There are services just like this where you say, Brother Essex, I'm doing all that I can. I'm trying with everything within me, but it feels like every time I turn around, I hit another brick wall, or it's another flood, or another fire. You may just be under a spiritual oppression. The remedy tonight is still the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus. Can you say amen? There's oppression, but watch out. Open your mind to the things of darkness, and there comes an obsession. People whose mind starts being focused and fascinated with things and places they have no purpose or places being. And somewhere or another in that mind, things start taking over. Now, that's not saying that person is possessed. But there is an obsession that's there that leads their lives. Friend, hear me. You open your mind to the filth of this world, to the trash of this world, to the garbage of this world. Satan will take you further than what you want to go. He'll keep you longer than what you want to stay. He'll make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. Son, I've never seen someone that's bound with an obsessive spirit that did not have a tormenting spirit with them. Something was tormenting them. Something was tormenting them day and night. It got a hold of them, my friend. Revenge can become an obsession. Greed can become an obsession. Amen. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it can become an obsession in your life. I was in not Ohio. I'll give you 49 more to choose. Okay, it wasn't Hawaii either. You're down to 48. Revival just finished. We were all in the fellowship hall. I was with the pastor sitting beside him, and someone came to me and said, "Brother Estes, Pastor, would you please come to the nursery? I think there may be a situation." Pastor and I got up, walked into that nursery. There's a young lady in there, and I can tell, man, she's bound. Something's going on. And the first thing in my mind, I'm starting praying, is this person possessed? I mean, what's something about to kick up right here? And I felt the Lord let me know they're not possessed, but they are obsessed. They're teetering in things they don't need to be teetering in. They're going down a road they don't need to go down. And something's got a hold of their mind. And that's all they think about. Hey, friend, getting even with that person that has slandered you can make an obsession come over your life. And there will be a vexation that stays. I'm telling you, the remedy is not to get even with them. It is to forgive them by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean what they did was right. It doesn't mean you ever want to see it happen again to anybody else. What it says is, I refuse to let my mind be overwhelmed with their unrighteousness, because I don't want to become obsessed with something that's just going to torment me. I prayed. I told her, I said, "I don't believe you're possessed." I said, "But you're very, very obsessed. There's something you've opened your heart to, and now it's got a hold of your mind. You leave it there long enough, and you're on your track to becoming that, but you're not there yet." We prayed, Brother Brad. I felt a glorious deliverance come in that little room. When I walked out of that room, her sister followed the pastor and me and said, "Preacher," said, "you don't know what you just said." Said she gave her heart to God about 18 months ago. But about 3 or 4 months ago, she started becoming fascinated with darkness. I said, "What do you mean darkness?" She said, "Anything dark, just any, you know, cryptic thing, any type of occultic thing." She would search that garbage. Listen, young people, be simple concerning evil. You don't have to search out all the trash of this world. You don't have to follow all the garbage of this world. Somebody say to you, "Have you heard the latest worst thing that they're doing?" You look back and say, "No, I haven't heard, and I don't want to know. I don't have to figure out everything out there." Simple concerning evil. It's best I don't know. I don't want to know. And for about 3 months, she just spent all day long on that computer, just searching out any dark, cryptic, sad, occultic thing. And before you know, that thing's starting to grip her mind. I'm telling you, the Bible said, if there be anything true, if there be anything honest, if there be anything just, you are to think anything pure, any virtue, you think on those things. You don't let your mind stay on the garbage. You don't let your mind stay on these sad things. I've seen them before, for whatever reason, God help them. They spend all day long looking up the saddest stories they can find online. What do you think that's going to do to your mind? What do you think that's going to do to your heart? Do you think that's going to bring you joy? No, sir. Some of you need to get out of that place. You need to put a hole through that computer and say, "Let me open up the Word of God and find deliverance from a mind that is tormented." The Bible said, Luke in 6 and 18, they were vexed with unclean spirits. Again, Acts 5 and 16, the multitude, they were vexed with that word vexed is the same word. Obsessed. Oppression from without. Obsession. Now it's starting to get inside. Beloved, hear me. And just as there was oppression and obsession, there is possession. When that heart stays unclean, unkempt, an open target for the enemy, the Bible speaks but how that man even goes so far as to clean out that house, or to push that devil up, but he never cleans that thing, or never fills it with anything else. Comes back 7 times worse. I had an unsaved cousin of mine. She said, Zane, I need you to come over to my house. She said, I need you to pray for my house. There's a lot of just wickedness that's there, a lot of spiritual wickedness that's there. I said to her name, I said, are you ready to give your heart to God? Are you ready to surrender to the Lord? She said, no, I'm not ready to do that. I said, then you don't want me to come to do anything like that, because all that's going to do is bring them back seven times more difficult. You better make friends with your devil if you're not going to get saved. Say, you better do everything you can to try to appease him, because I'm telling you, beloved, if you try to get that thing out and you're not born again, covered in the blood, all that's going to do is make it worse. Make up your mind. Say to yourself, I want to get saved. I want to get delivered. I want to be set free. Why go any further? Turn it around. And there is such a thing. Well, now it's not on the outside. Now it's not even on the mind. Now it's touched that spirit. And the Bible said in Mark 1 and 32, and when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and all that were possessed with devils. Friend, hear me tonight. There is a reality of the demonic, but that's not where God's word stops tonight, because there is the authority of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He goes into Capernaum. Straightway on the Sabbath, he entered in. Listen to what verse 22. He taught them as one that had authority. Hallelujah. Amen. He's not just seeing what the latest Reader's Digest has to say. He's not just one of the boys in Bible school. He is the living, breathing Word of God. He walks with me and talks. Hallelujah. Amen. God the Son of God, his name is Jesus, and he's able to deliver wherever you may be tonight. In verse 27, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Let me share something with you tonight. Those unclean spirits, they may put up a good front. They may smile and act like they tonight, but friend, they recognize the full deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They said, I know who you are. We know who you are. They recognize that Jesus Christ has full deity. They recognize that he has full authority. They're not afraid of your little game. They're not afraid of your little social night. They're not afraid of your ice cream dinner. But when they see men and women that can call down heaven and cast out hell, they recognize it. I know thee. I know who you are. You're the Holy One. I know thee. Friend, not only do they recognize him, they hate him. I said they hate him. You know what they said to him? Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Don't talk to me. Don't you quote that word of God in my ear. Don't you go praying in the mind and praying in the spirit. Just leave all that alone. Hey friend, has a preacher ever preached something to you and you knew it was right where you're living and you said back to him, hey, don't talk to me about that. I don't want to hear that. You may not know what spirit you are of, because that old man and that, amen, those devils, they don't want to hear the truth of God's divine word. You can give them 12 easy steps to having a better job. You can give them 7 easy steps to getting along with your neighbor. But when you begin to say, thus saith the Lord, there'll be an anger that stirs in their hearts. They know him. They hate him. They fear him. This is their question. Art thou come to destroy us? Art, that's the first thing coming out of your mind. That's the first thing comes out of your lips, what's on your mind. You come to destroy me. You come to destroy me. Amen. 1 John 4:4 said it like this. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you and he that is in the world. I'm telling you, friend, if you're a child of God, if you've been born again, if you've been filled with the Spirit of God, you need to be aware. You need to be sober. You need to be vigilant. But you do not have to fear. He that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. Verse 25, Jesus rebuked him. You know what he says? What's the Bible say? He says, hold thy peace. Now we read that, and it just flows so nicely in our King James Bibles, doesn't it? It sounds so eloquent. Sounds like a man that just fresh pressed clothes, and he smiles at the congregation. And he looks at something and says, now hold your peace. Just hold your peace. Pretty please. When you read that in the original, it literally means be muzzled. Just like an old dog says, hey, yep, that's enough. That's enough. You've been fighting their family long enough. Devil, be muzzled. You've come against their home. You've come against their children. You've tried to put sickness. You've tried to put sickness and try to that. You've tried to put a false report and try to make their mind worry and say this was going to happen. And you even tried to show them x-rays and everything. And I'm telling you, the enemy looks and tries to sneer. And God looks back at him and says, enough is enough. Be muzzled. Stop. Be silent. Let my people rejoice. And let the enemy be scattered. They know him. They hate him. They fear him. I know you. If you come to destroy me, that's enough. That's enough. Friend, I'm glad that we can have services where we can fight for victory. But I would to God some of you could learn that there comes a day in your life you don't just fight for victory, you fight from victory. Amen. You live in, yes sir, you come, yes sir, there's oppressions, but you live in victory. Amen. Victory in Jesus. I said victory in the Lord. Amen. You see the oppression that's come against your life, and you say in the authority of the blood of the Lamb, and the authority of Jesus, and the authority of Jesus Christ, we come together, we pray believing, and the enemy must go. Say amen. Not just your little repeated word, not just what you heard Granny Shilcox say, but the true power and authority of Jesus Christ for every enemy that's come against you. I close tonight because there's a reality of the demonic. There's authority of the Lord, and there's the victory of the believer. Come on here. Amen. Oh, Brother Estes, if we just lived back in Bible times, if I was just there when Jesus said that, wouldn't that be a glory? I want to remind you, friend. He said, all power is given unto me. Amen. Now he's able to do that through his church. And if you will live as God desires you to live, and if you will walk as God desires you to walk, I want to remind you, he sends out 70 and he gives them power over unclean spirits. He gives them authority over unclean spirits. And I'm telling you, it's time we take off the blinders and say it's not just happenstance. It's not just circumstance. There is something that's come against my home. There is something that's come against my church. And we're going to pray. And we're going to believe the Lord to set us free.
Amen. I'm afraid, Pastor, that even amongst our ranks of Pentecostal churches, we're starting to forsake the old weapons that we know work. Great God, heaven. We're looking some other way and some other tide. The Bible reminds us tonight, for with authority, he even the unclean spirits, they do obey him. Friend, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Now, I'm not saying you're possessed because you're not saved, but you're an open target if you're not. But if you're washed in the blood, if you know your sins have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb,
You're earnestly seeking that promise of the Father, walking in the Spirit. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of stuff you don't have to put up with that you have been putting up with. You can say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every foul force and enemy of hell, and watch God's divine mercy begin to push that thing. The Bible said it like this, Brother McKelvey, the enemy comes in one way and he flees going seven. Amen. He's not just going to budge because you quoted something you heard somebody else say, but I'm telling you, it's a glorious thing whenever somebody gets on one side and starts praising the Lord with an audible voice. Somebody gets on the other side and starts quoting scripture and begin to magnify the Lord, and before you know it, the power begins to flow and the hand of God begins to touch and the Lord sets the captive free. Somebody give him praise. I met a man in South Carolina. Never met him before, never met him since. He said, man, you don't know me. He said, I was a part of a biker gang. Said I had hair down to here. Said, I mean, he was all into darkness, all into occult practices. He and his wife both owned a bar with lascivious activities there. I'll just say that. He said, man, you don't know how deep in the sin I was in. He said, but man, I walked into a church one night and there was a Hispanic man preaching. And in the middle of that service, that Hispanic man stopped and looked at me. He said, that church, the way it was right when you walked through those front doors there of the main sanctuary, there were pews right there to your left. He said, I sat in those very back pews to the left. He said, and that Spanish preacher stopped, pointed his finger at me and said, sir, the Holy Ghost just spoke to me and said, God wants you to get saved, to get full of the Holy Ghost, and to be a preacher of the gospel. Said, like to scared the fire out of me. But next thing I know, he said, I'm up around that front praying and seeking the Lord. He said, my wife gets saved shortly after that. Power of God comes upon her. Said it was a struggle, but man, when she got it, she got gloriously. He said, I never forget some of them old ladies at that church. I mean, one was on one side and the other was on the other. You don't know the things that she'd been in. But I'm telling you what, it was a struggle. It was an absolute struggle. And said, by that time, she'd say, let me up. And them old ladies said, you ain't going nowhere till you get the victory. And sure enough, the power of God healed her and that absolutely raised her, turned her around. Amen. I don't know where they are, but all I know is he said, I was just faithful to the calling of God. I said, man, where were you when that happened? He said, I don't know if you may know about it or not. He said, it's a little church up in Ohio. It's a little church on Union Road. He said, the name of the church was Union Road Pentecostal Church. I said, what you talking, man? You see that lady right there? That's my bride. She grew up in that church. Hey, beloved, this place has got some history of victory. This place has got some battles and we've won. Come on. He's still God. He's still God. He's still God. Can you give him praise?
Got me, honey.
Woo! Wow, glory! Shandalabohokot.
God set him free. And the Lord turned him around. Brother Estes, I've been fighting some oppression. Let me tell you something, friend. He that is in you is greater. Is greater. Didn't say a weapon formed, but it shall not prosper. That weapon was formed, but it never prospered. Amen. Psalmist said it like this. May the enemy fall into his own snare. I said, may the enemy fall into his own snare. What the enemy meant for you may turn and fall into his own snare. And may the wicked righteous, or may the wicked fall into it. And may the righteous pass through and pass over unharmed and unscathed, but protected by the divine hand of the Lord, by the divine hand of God, by the merciful hand of the Savior.
You can shrug it off. You can pretend like every devil in hell ain't been trying to fight you. You can say, well, it's just kind of a rough time in my life. And you can leave here the same way that you've come. And on the other hand, you can call on the mercies of God and say, Lord, I need you to bring me out. I need you to bring me out. I have been fighting.
I've been going through it, but Father, by the divine hand of God, whom the Son hath set free, somebody say it with me, is free indeed. Hallelujah. Oh, did you hear that? Oh, that just sounded good when the church, whom the Son hath set free. Oh, saith whom the Son hath set free is free indeed. Hell, that means me. That means you. That means you. That means you. That means me. That means my family. That means our home. That means our babies. That means our help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody begin to praise the Lord. Somebody begin to call upon the Lord. Somebody begin to trust Him. Somebody begin to call on Him. Hallelujah. Stop what you're doing and focus on God and bless His holy name. Across this house, you can start. Shalabahura, huraka. For with authority commanded even the unclean spirits, and they do obey Him. I said they do obey Him. That one account, it says, if you come to torment me before the time, I shouldn't have let that one slip, should he? He knows there's coming a time. He knows there's coming a day. And there's that devil, and all he's been trying to do is make God's people live in fear. And one walks in the house that day. Son of man, Son of God, Jesus. And he looks at that enemy and he says, enough is enough. Be quiet. Enough. My people, free. Stand with me all over this house tonight. Oh. You're in this house tonight. Doesn't make you less of a Christian. Doesn't mean you've backslid. Doesn't mean you've walked away from God. I'm telling you, some of the best of us have had spiritual oppressions. And as long as you keep fighting it in the flesh, you'll never find the results you're looking for. I'm telling you, God has stopped everything tonight. And He's looking at somebody. He's telling you, call unto me. I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. That's the promise of God. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, your hearts are open in this house. Brother Estes, I feel like there has been an oppression that's come against my life, that's come against our home. I want Jesus tonight to help us. If that's you, slip up your hand to heaven and say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm telling you, from one side of the house to the next, there's hands that have been raised. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you. Hands are still going up. Thank you. Hallelujah to God. There's an oppression. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual need. You'll never overcome it in your own mind, in your own flesh. You've got to come to Jesus. You've got to turn that thing over to Jesus. You've got to remind that enemy, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. 10,000 fall at my right side, but it shall not come nigh unto me. Friend, if you felt that attack against your life, if you felt that heartache against your soul, I want you to step out right now from where you're standing. I want you to come. I want you to come right now. Come on and stand. Don't just come to your normal place and kneel. I want you to come and stand. Come on, just stand. Don't just go to that motion and say, here's where I crouch down and just find myself a little prayer time. You come and lift your head tonight. You come and lift your hands tonight. Come on, your spouse. Why don't you come with him? Why don't you pray alongside him? Why don't you believe God with him? Come on, because he's been fighting them. He's been fighting you as well. Come on, he's been in that home. But you don't have to put up with that. You don't have to allow that to overtake your soul. I feel the presence of the Lord in this house. I feel the goodness of the Lord in this house. Hey, hallelujah. I feel the power of the Lord in this house. He is able to touch. He is able to heal.